Well, it's a joy and privilege to be able to rejoice with you in this Thanksgiving service. We come before the Lord, and it is important to realize each time we come, it is only by His grace. Sometimes in Singapore, we're posted here and there, and nowhere to worship the Lord. And even in certain supposedly Christian countries. Helen's nephew, that's also my nephew-in-law, went to Korea, and he couldn't adapt to any of the churches. We thank God. We have fundamental churches to go on. We can come and worship God, thank Him in a comfortable environment. Having said this, we realize, as we come before the Lord today, we thank God always. We are what we are today, all by His grace and mercy, without which we are undone. We celebrate Thanksgiving service with gratitude. We acknowledge His wonderful salvation upon sinners. All of us are sinners saved by grace. God has been good to us. You realize this? You look around the countries in the world, whether it be Middle East, go home. You don't know whether your children will be meeting you at home. They go to school, they come back. They don't come back in one piece. That's it. Praise God for His goodness. Sister Spurgeon called this Psalm 96 a psalm of joy in the salvation of the Lord, or a hallelujah psalm of praise. And indeed, it is a wonderful psalm. Now, before I carry on, I want to talk something about praising God, giving thanks to God in worship. Praise is a natural and spontaneous expression of love and adoration of our great God, our Creator, our Maker, and our Savior. As such, our praises must stem from the heart, right? A heart of appreciation and gratitude to the Lord God who loved us and saved us by His grace. The second point I want to make is praise must be done with a happy spirit, a spirit of grace, coming to adore God, our great Jehovah and our Savior. Thirdly, praising the Lord is also to be done appropriately. God is to be the center and focus of our worship and praise. Our approach before the Lord must be right and proper, not in senseless frivolity. We see that in many of the other churches, and we thank God. We have a God of order. We have God not of confusion. We have God that would listen to our heart cry and our prayer, not the mumble jumble that's propagated in many of the churches. Right? Therefore, our expression of praise must be coherent and appropriate. Remember that. Focus is upon God. Our heart attitude is very important as we come before the Lord. Okay? So, I just want to run through, all right, what I want to say today in Psalm 96, verse 1 to 13. The call to sing unto the Lord or to praise the Lord is found in verses 1 to 6. But in verse 1 to 2, the three times the call was issued. Okay? Verses 1 to 3, we're going to talk about the contents of the new song. All right? First of all, to show forth His salvation in this new song. And secondly, to declare His glory and His wonders. Verses 4 to 6 will tell us the reason for the new song. Because God is great, in verse 4. God is our Creator, in verse 5. God is our sovereign God, in verse 6. Alright. The second part of the psalm It's found in 7, verses 7 to 9. First of all, in verse 7, God alone is worthy of our worship. Verse 8 tells us, the worship God with our tithes and our offerings. We come before Him with our offering. Right? In this. And in verse 9, worship God in the beauty of His holiness. And finally, the last section, the call to witness for the Lord in response to His grace and mercy upon us. Right? Most commentators believe that David was the author of this song, right, or this psalm. He probably wrote it at the time of bringing the Ark of God into the tabernacle which he had prepared for it in Zion. We find this in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7 and verse 23 to 33, for those of you who are taking notes. Certainly, it was a time of great rejoicing in God's goodness upon His people. It was also a time when God's people offered burnt offerings and sacrifices and peace offering before Him. Right? The call to sing, as I said in verses 1 to 2, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. So verse 1, you have twice. Sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. A new song, an excellent song, the song of gospel grace, the song of God's redeeming love. As God's redeemed people, we have been delivered from the bondage of sin to the liberty we have in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Just think about it. It's a new song. We are new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. What has Christ done for us? Given us the gift of eternal life. Given us not just life eternally, the blessed hope, but life here abundantly. That is our challenge. It's a new song. Right? Looking forward to our blessed hope, we shall witness the singing of another new song, and this time it's found in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. I read that for you. Right? Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song. They sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This will be a new song we shall hear. We shall rejoice in God's goodness and grace. Thank God. Remember, Moses sang a new song as well. When was this? What do you think? It was the deliverance of Israel. Remember, after the last plague where the firstborn of Egypt was slain, Pharaoh said, get out of my sight, go! Moses went. Right? Pharaoh relented. Why am I so foolish? To let all these slaves go free. So he chased after them. Well, Israel was, or the Jews were in problem. Right? But God delivered them. And we know the song of Moses is found in the context of Exodus 14. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. Right? And the people feared and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. That is found in Exodus 14:31. Right? How God brought back the waters of the Red Sea after Israel crossed over, and what? The whole of Pharaoh, his pursuing army, were swept away. Moses sang that new song. Exodus 15, 1 and 2, I read that for us. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, I will sing unto the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. How wonderful. Has that been the case in each one of us? If we remember who we were before we came to know the Lord, we will now realize how good, how wonderful God has been to us, providing our every need. You have your Christian testimony. You have your witness before the Lord. How God, time and again, helped us in our time. Give us this new song to love and to trust Him. Right. The contents of the new song, verses 1 to 3. To show forth His salvation, that is found in verse 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Sing of God's saving grace. The focus is the joy of a sinner set free. Have you been set free from sin? The psalmist was able to sing praises to God because he has been set free from his sin. We are all so familiar with the story of John Newton. He was a slave trader. He commanded a ship, seen all the slaves being brought, bought, sold, abused them. He was a vile man, foul mouth, foul heart, foul soul. The people that were under him were scared of him. Evil man. Before his conversion, John Newton confessed, he was the most godless and blasphemous of all men. But when the Lord delivered him in a storm one night, he turned to the Lord in repentance. He wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Have you met your old friends before? Your pre-conversion day friends? One day you meet them and say, what are you doing? I'm a pastor. I think they stepped 3 steps back. They knew you as a havoc guy, right? But if you tell them, I'm not serving the Lord, I'm a deacon in the church, I'm an elder, I'm a pastor. That's what happened to many of us, okay? It's happened to me, right? Have you been saved? In salvation, God has given us a new life. The gift of life eternal. Grace sufficient. Right? You see, someone said, in this life, God gives us grace. Grace sufficient to sustain us. Grace sufficient for us to live for Him, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Right? Grace. Grace. But when we die, Apostle Paul says that, I'd rather be with the Lord, right? Which is far better. When we die, another G will be given to us, glory. Here we have, by God's grace, we live day to day. When we close our eyes, that final time, it will be glory. How this should encourage us to press on. He has given us grace. He will give us glory. Is that is encapsulated to show forth His salvation to us. Sing the new song consistently. Right? You look at verse 2. Show forth His salvation from day to day. It's a daily thing. Let our life be one of constant praise to the Lord. A thankful heart is a singing heart. A praising heart is a thankful heart. Right? Declare His glory and wonders. Verse 3. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. We must praise God for His glory and his wonders among unbelievers, among the heathen, and among all the people. We are to be different. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are God's people. We are God's chosen. By God's grace, we are going to live out our lives to be light and salt among the heathen. Among people we rub shoulders with, whether in the office, whether in the factory floor, whether in every place where we are. It can be a workplace, it can be with our neighbors. They will see us as Christians. I tell always the young people, if at any point you take your first job and you work among them, after 1 week, they should recognize that you are different in your attitude, in your value system, in the work that you produce. They will see you're different. And they will know that you are a Christian. Let your light shine forth before men. Declare his glory and wonder. Each of us has a testimony to share of God's saving grace and power. How he has transformed and renewed our lives. When speaking of God's glory, one hymn comes to mind. To God be the glory. And who sang that one? Or who penned this hymn? Fanny Crosby. She was a blind poet, a hymn writer. She wrote some 8,000 hymns. And though blind, she was never bitter, neither gloomy. Right? If you live in this dark world, then you realize you just feel very miserable. Right? To be blind is something that's really terrible. But she said, it is God's blessed purpose that I should be blind all my life. We have two hands, we have two legs. Right? We hold good jobs, steady income, lovely family, children around us. We can walk around safely. Anytime, even at night, early in the hours, early hours of the morning. We have security. Try that in other lands. How God has been so good to us. But yet we do not appreciate it. This lady was blinded for a purpose. Thank God. Blindness was God's gift to Fanny. Why? So that she could write song for God's glory. May the Lord use us. We are not handicapped in any way. But if we love and serve the Lord. The reason for the new song, verses 4 to 6. God's greatness. He is to be feared above all gods. Look at verse 4. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. The word great here, of course, means there's none greater. Is what you call a nominative superlative. Right? Isaiah 46 verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Let us fear God above all else. Why? Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We'll learn how to honor our life. We'll live our life in honor of God. We'll learn how to live our life wisely, redeeming the time, knowing the days are evil. We're in a wicked and perverse generation. Right? It will keep us in the right way, the straight and narrow path that leads to life. It will keep us safe from the snares and temptations of the world. Right? Out there, they're all waiting. Waiting to get at us. Secondly, there is nothing too hard for God to do. Realize this. He is great. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The answer is, of course, no. Are we having any problems? Bring them before our great God. He knows best how to help us. They always say, you have your troubles, I have mine. What are our troubles? How are we going to solve them? God is there. Is God with us? Is God here with us? Or is God nowhere? God is now here. N-O-W-H-E-R-E. It doesn't mean God is nowhere. N-O-W-H-E-R-E. God is here with us. Right? We fear God because of His greatness. Content of the new song. Praise God because He's great. We praise God because of His creative works. Right? Look at verse 5. For all the gods of the nations are idols. They are handiwork of man. Right? Me in the form of creatures. And even of human beings. But they are no God. But the Lord made the heavens. Yes. Right? The heavens declare the glory of God. And God made us. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. Isaiah 45:18. Right. He is our Lord God Creator. We see Him in His handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. Firmament showeth forth His handiwork. And look at verse 6. God's honor and majesty causes us to praise Him. Right. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Honor and majesty. He is the Almighty God, worthy of honor as our sovereign God, the one who ruleth over us. Right? As in His sanctuary. Worship as in His sanctuary. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Psalm 104:1. That's the perspective of the psalmist. Yes, do we see God as a king? The King of glory? What should our response be to God's honor and majesty? Look at the response of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6:5. Right? Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Yes, if we have a high view of God, it will humble us. Right? One of the things that causes us to sin is our pride. When our pride is hurt, when people put us down. Right? Never mind. They are answerable to God. But very often we feel very lousy. We want to hit back. How can He say this thing of me? There's always that pride. God is the King of glory, not ourselves. Right? There was godly fear and holy reverence when Isaiah realized this. He saw the heavenly vision, the Lord God standing there. And he couldn't take it. Oh, it's me. Do we view God in that way? If we do, then when we come before Him, there's that holy reverence. There's that fear. Isaiah realized what an unworthy sinner he was. May we likewise respond to God's honor and majesty. The call to worship the Lord, verses 7-9. God alone is worthy of our worship. Okay? Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. Worship God with our tithes and offerings. We are to give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. We are to bring an offering. Okay? Giving to the Lord is part of worship. That's the first point. Worship God. The Apostle Paul exhorted the Corinthians upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store. as God had prospered him. Remember when David wanted to build the temple of God, he gathered all that he had and said, when he offered it to the Lord, he says, what I've given is what God has given me. Remember, what we possess, what we are able to give unto the Lord, is all by His grace. We are mere stewards of God's manifold grace. Right? We are what we are today because of what God has done for us. So our money is not our money. It's very, very difficult sometimes. Right? When we are a little bit tight, when we feel we are a little bit hemming, then we will not feel, it's not easy. But we are to lay aside. We are to set aside. We are to honor God. God's work is to be done by God's people. You and I are not to apply our tithes or offering anywhere and everywhere. After all, it's God's work. If it's a local church, you apply your money here so that God's work can carry on. Can you imagine if all of you give to all other churches how to buy Sunday school materials, how to get things done, how to maintain the van, how to do this and that. So you have, as we come before the Lord, this is our home church, we contribute towards it with our tithes and offerings and our services unto God. We are mere stewards, remember that. So give to the Lord, giving to God is part of worship. Giving to God is a privilege. God loveth a cheerful giver. We give grudgingly, God sees and God knows. Nobody will know how much you put in there. Nobody's going to check you. Huh? We are not a church of 30,000, right? Where we cannot afford to lug the whole cash into the bank and make them count and wait there. You have to wait quite a long time, right? You sign a direct debit against your account. Whatever it may be. It's a lot. Right. So understand this. It's a joy and privilege to contribute. It's an honor given to us, not given to outsiders. Right? Come before Him in the beauty of holiness. Right? Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Our heart must be pure and right before God. Do not harbor sin in our hearts. Right? Or an unforgiving spirit of bitterness. When we come and worship God, we must be free of all these things. God accepts the worship of His people. It's good, clean, honoring to Him. We come with all our minds and our hearts are all clogged up with things. Bitterness there. Thinking, walking into the church, half our time is thinking, tomorrow I have to deal with this case. In the office, I have to call this person. In my school, I got this one, I got project on, I got this and that. Where is our focus then? It's all divided. We come to God in the fullness, worship Him in the beauty of holiness that's required of us. The word means to be set apart for God. This is our time with God. This is a time where we engage ourselves in the things of God. And here we are, our minds, our hearts are somewhere else. We can be present in the bodily form. But if our spirit and our hearts are not with us, that is a very sad thing. God is not going to accept this kind. It's what you call empty or vain worship. And may that not be the case in any of us. As we come in, we must come early to church. We must quieten our hearts like what Elder John says. Spend some time. What Isaac said. Spend some time. Quieten our hearts. Settle ourselves down. Cool ourselves down. And we worship God. And that's important. The reverence that is generated by a group of people is very encouraging. Let me tell you, sometimes, once or twice I walk into a Roman Catholic church, you know the reverence they show, as they dip their fingers here and there, and then they go, it's total quiet. you can hear a pin drop. I hope it is the kind of atmosphere, the kind of entering into the very sanctuary of God that will hallow that our worship. I challenge us all to maintain this attitude. Right? In many churches, lateness dishonors God. The thing need not be put there. The thing should be written in our hearts. Prepare our heart to worship God this Sunday. Approach God with grateful hearts, thankful spirit, a heart that's properly prepared. God, see my heart even as I come in worship. The call to witness for the Lord. And this is seen in verses 10 to 13. Right? Look at that for us. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Now, it's generally believed that this passage refers to the future. The 1,000-year reign of Christ in the millennial reign, right? This will be the time when the Lord will set up his throne and dominion over all the nations of the earth. Look at verse 10 there. Right? The Lord reigneth, the world also shall be established. In verse 13, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. So that will be the time where he will rule and he will be the perfect judge out of the city, holy city of Jerusalem. The millennium will be a time of great rejoicing. The Lord will come to judge the world fairly and justly. Okay? Now, before the millennium, the gospel must be preached throughout the whole world. And today we see the many terrible things that happen around us. These are signs of our Lord's soon return. The gospel must go out before the Lord returns. Right? And so we see again the pestilences, right? The SARS, the H1N1, the dengue, and whatever you have, the Ebola plague from Africa, everywhere. Now, the H1N1 is mutated to don't know what, N9, whatever, you cannot follow. Every time the news announced, it's a new number. You know, you don't know what is going on, right? So it's terrible. Now the bird flu is now spreading onto human beings. What else next? Wars and civil unrest. See that in the Middle East, you see that in Burma, you see that in India. You see that even amongst the Muslim countries, how they bomb the embassy. You know? We don't know what will happen next. Right? So it's a very, very terrible thing. And natural disasters almost every day. If you watch the news, which I do at 9:30 or at TV switch on, and you always see where? Earthquake, flooding, China, Japan, Philippines. Millions of dollars are put in. And they can't help it. They say 15 years to rebuild Tacloban. All destroyed within days. Gone. You see people weeping. And disorder. No law. Anarchy reigns. Anybody get and grab because you have to survive. You need water, you need food. And now they are selling all the goods that has been, you know, plundered from all the shops. This is what it is. No law and order. The signs are all there. What is the message to us in these last days? Proclaim the gospel. Right? God's plan of salvation. Witness for the Lord to our loved ones, to our friends. When was the last time we prayed for our loved ones? When was the last time we prayed for our neighbors? When was the last time we prayed for our colleagues? When was the last time we come to prayer meeting? When was the last time where this church sent forth laborers to preach the gospel? In many, many churches, they maintain E-ban, right? Life BP Church during the time of Reverend Toh had an event. How many people in the event? Even a church of 600, 500, less than 20, sometimes 25, sometimes even less than that. That was when Reverend Toh was alive. In many churches, who were the ones that go out? Hardly. If 10% attend the prayer meeting, people are happy. If 10% go out witnessing, the leadership will be very happy. I'm speaking as a pastor, I'm talking about my church as well as many other churches that I know of. How many of us? When was the last time we shared the gospel? You ask ourselves. When was the last time when someone bowed with you and said a sinner's prayer? When? For me, it's some years back. May the Lord give us a zeal. For we have received freely of His grace. We are to go forth with the gospel. He has entrusted it to us. He has called us to be His children. And we are not going to witness by proxy, getting people to preach the gospel to us, to distribute tracts for us. We are going out ourselves. What God has given us in grace and salvation, what God has provided for us, how can we disregard this? Today, we thank God. We rejoice in the Lord because He has put a new song in our hearts. Thank God for His redeeming grace and the salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember the 2G? First of all, He has given us grace in the gift of eternal life. Grace to enable us to live the abundant life. Never forget that grace. The future to come, in death we will be in glory. That should encourage our hearts. Let us praise Him consistently from day to day. Let our lives be a daily testimony of how God has changed us. And we can share this when people look at our lives. It's not the way we talk about God. It's the way we live and people can see the work of grace in our hearts. And they will say, He is different. I want that kind of life that He has. May the Lord help us. That what I preach today, what we have learned today, what we have gleaned from the message today, may strengthen us to love the Lord in return because He has loved us and gave Himself for us. That our lives will glorify Him. In the meantime, to enjoy His grace and mercy. Let us pray. Our Father, we know all signs are pointing to the fact that Thy return will be soon. It is imminent. And we pray that as Thy children, we who have received grace from Thee might minister Thy grace to others as well. Somewhere along our life, we know Thou hast saved us because someone has been moved by Thee to reach us with the gospel. And may our lives be so touched, Lord, by Thy grace that we will also share this gospel message to those around us through the way we live, through the way we value the things of God, through our obedience and our submission unto Thee. O Lord, give us some soul today, we pray. Guide and lead us. And for those who have not known the Lord even this afternoon, in our midst today, may they be touched to come, to see the greatness of God, to see the goodness of God, and to see the grace of God manifested upon the cross of Calvary. And so, Father, we know Thy return draweth nigh. Keep us faithful unto Thee. O Father, may Thou be our strength and our help. Bless our work week. Bless our loved ones and family members too. Bless us, our witness may stand for Thee. For all eternity, by Thy grace, In thy strength we pray. In Jesus' blessed name. Amen.